From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, September 3rd, 2026. As the school year gets underway, some Maine districts say they are redoubling bus safety efforts after two students were hit and killed by their school buses last year. Maddie Smith has more.
Governor Janet Mills allocated almost $6 million this spring to improve school bus safety throughout the state. The Department of Education began reimbursing school districts in July for retrofitting school buses that do not have a front crossing arm. Districts are being reimbursed up to $3,000 per school bus for eligible equipment and labor costs completed after July 2025. Department officials say 14 school districts have submitted for reimbursement for the installation of almost 50 crossing arms, and more are expected. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
Residents in York will vote this November on whether to ban flock cameras or automated license plate readers. York residents submitted a citizens' initiative to ban the cameras, which use artificial intelligence to scan and log license plate information on public roadways. The town select board agreed this week to add the measure to the November 3rd ballot. If it passes, the town must remove the cameras and cancel contracts with Flock Safety. Some residents say the cameras, which are placed on Spur Road and Route 1 leading to the Maine Turnpike, violate their Fourth Amendment rights. Auburn is considering a similar citizens' initiative. Portland nearly set a high temperature record this summer. The average temperature in Maine's largest city was 69 degrees Fahrenheit between June and August, according to the National Weather Service. Keith Carson with the Maine Conservation Voters says that narrowly misses a record set in 2020 and follows near record years in the last decade.
How much more often we set record warm months compared to record cold months, that's really the sign of climate change that we're seeing.
The Weather Service says summer temperatures in Bangor and Augusta were also within the top 10 highest years on record. And lastly, Penobscot Community Healthcare says it's closing its adult wellness center in Bangor in November and will transition patients to other locations. The state's largest health center says it's also eliminating 16 administrative positions, though 11 employees will transfer to new roles. Leaders of the nonprofit say the changes are part of ongoing efforts to achieve financial stability. And now it's time for Maine's Political Pulse, our analysis of government and politics. I'm joined today by Chief Political Correspondent Steve Missler, who's here to talk about the closely watched U.S. Senate race. Steve, this contest has had so many storylines and twists and turns over the past year, but right now seems like the focus is on Troy Jackson, the Democrat who was nominated about a month ago to take on Republican Senator Susan Collins. Jackson was thrust into the race after progressive firebrand Graham Plattner was forced out by a pile of controversies. What's he been doing to get his fledgling campaign off the ground? It seems like we've seen less of Troy Jackson than we did of Graham Plattner.
Yeah, I think that's right, Ari, but it's also because Jackson has been racing to assemble the under-the-hood part of the operation, you know, hiring staff, fundraising, planning events, and so forth. But it certainly has been a contrast to Plattner, who was almost, you know, ubiquitous, just showing up everywhere via public events or in social media feeds. Jackson has obviously been less so, but I think part of that's just because he's just getting started and ramping up campaign activities. And that's really been the case the past couple of weeks. We've seen a lot more of him, including his first two town halls this week in Lewiston and Gorham.
Yeah, and that's interesting, right? Because town halls were such a big feature of Plattner's campaign.
Absolutely. I mean, he held like 80 of them, and the events were useful to him because they were covered in the press, and it was a way to bring out and engage potential supporters and recruit volunteers in some cases. Jackson is basically trying to replicate those in some fashion, although he just doesn't have time to do as many as Plattner did.
And what stood out to you at the Lewiston Town Hall?
A few things. I mean, it was a good crowd, more than 300 people in a venue that seats about 400. And it was friendly, which allowed Jackson to talk about his platform and criticize Senator Collins without too many challenges from the audience. In fact, just two people were critical of Jackson. One person said he thought he was too soft attacking Collins, and the other actually criticized Jackson for trying to helm the populist movement that Plattner led before leaving the race.
I've seen your ads, and I noticed that you keep referring to our movement that we build. Honestly, it feels disingenuous because the movement that was building was built by someone else. You weren't nominated by the voters. Why should frustrated Mainers like me trust you as the person to take over leadership of that movement?
And how did Jackson respond to that one?
Well, it was interesting, Ari, because I think it actually played into something that Jackson has been saying since he was nominated, which is basically that the movement isn't about the person leading it, but the people behind it.
I think it's about people across this state that know there's something fundamentally wrong with the way things are going.
Of course, that exchange illustrates one of the challenges confronting Jackson's campaign, and that's just enthusiasm for his candidacy. And that's tough because the comparisons to Plattner are inevitable, especially since Jackson is running on essentially the same message.
And part of that, right, is that Plattner and Jackson are just really different presenters.
Fundamentally different. You know, you're not going to get a lot of histrionics and punchlines from Troy Jackson. That's just not who he is. He definitely has the working class bona fides that his predecessor didn't, but not the oratory polish. So it will be interesting to see how much that matters to voters as the campaign progresses.
And let's shift over to Senator Collins, who's seeking her sixth term this November. Collins is not holding town halls, is she?
She is not. What Collins is running is essentially the same kind of campaign that she's run since getting elected nearly three decades ago. That is a tightly managed operation that includes a lot of stops at businesses, parades, fairs, and so on. And the message that Senator Collins is really trying to hammer home is that she's a known quantity in Washington, someone whose seniority and influence delivers for Maine people. And she's doing that because that's what's won her elections over and over, including in 2020, when she fended off a well-funded Democratic campaign to unseat her. And all of that is backstopped by a Republican machine that's just pouring money into this race, and so far, vastly outspending Jackson and the Democratic group supporting him.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to escape the negative ads in this race. Seems like they're really back to back on both sides.
Yeah, totally. And for the most part, Collins is letting the super PACs backing her do the negative campaigning. That's not unusual for her or other incumbents, really. Her attacks against Jackson's have been a lot more subtle. And you saw that during this really interesting interview she did with Politico's Jonathan Martin, where she slipped in this reference to Jackson's longtime partner.
Well, I'm not going to bring up the fact that the mother of his two children is his second cousin. I don't know whether people know that or not.
I think you just mentioned it.
So you see what she did there, Ari. She's, you know, highlighting a point while claiming to ignore it. You know, I suspect the Roman philosopher Cicero would approve of that tactic.
No doubt. But I have seen this second cousin attack against Jackson a lot on social media.
Yeah, me too. And honestly, I had to look up the definition of second cousin. It's when your parents and second cousin's parents are first cousins. So basically, you have the same great grandparents, but not the same grandparents. It's a little convoluted, and that's probably the point of the attack, because most people will just pay attention to the cousins part.
Got it. Well, let's pivot to some reporting you did this week for NPR about how Collins is navigating the renewed trade war with Canada. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this will be something to watch if the trade war continues to escalate. And that's because Canada is Maine's top trading partner. You know, the vast majority of its imports and exports are conducted in Canada. And there's a lot of interconnectivity between our economy and Canada's. And that includes heritage industries like lobster and wood products. And Senator Collins is out just trying to urge the Trump administration to ease tensions and get back to the negotiating table. But so far, the Trump administration has shown little interest in doing that. So it's just something to keep an eye on, because it plays right into this affordability debate we're seeing in congressional races across the country.
And that concludes the Maine Political Pulse for this week. We'll be back next week with a look at a different race on the November ballot. Be sure to check out more of our election coverage on the Your Vote page at mainepublic.org. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, Generation Alpha. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.